Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Happy Friday, Nashville, and we are joined, as we are every Friday, by Max Herz. He is on the road in Raleigh, I believe, Max?
Hi, guys. Yeah. Good morning from North Carolina.
There you go.
Much colder and drearier than it was yesterday when we were in Florida.
Yes, you've rejoined us in the 30-degree temperatures, I'm sure. How was Florida, though? A big win last night for the Preds.
Yeah, it was honestly a perfect couple days. Just getting out there, temperature was 80 degrees, hanging out in Fort Lauderdale, and then one of the Preds' best performances of the season.
Right.
They stuck with it. They came back, tied it up late against the defending cup champions, who are trying to turn their season around, and I thought played really well last night. Preds tied it up. UC Saros was incredible, and they won it in overtime, and a dislodged net in OT went the right direction this time around.
Yeah, where have we seen that before? The Preds on what was a very borderline, quote-unquote, imminent scoring chance against the Wild a couple of weeks ago. The one last night was pretty obvious. Stephen Stamkos was ready to bury that one, whether the net was on or off. And a big win. Preds have now won 4 out of 5, Max. It does seem like things are starting to trend in the right direction for this team.
Yeah, and they've won 3 straight road games, too, which some of the road games early in the season just never even got within arm's reach. So for these road games to not just be close, but to be wins, is one tangible sign of real progress. And I think they've shown a lot of signs of progress. I think the top line has really produced. Whoever's with Ryan O'Reilly has been the hotter wingers this season, which is not surprising. But right now it's Luke Evangelista and Steven Stamkos, and those guys have been good. The decor has been solid. Saros has been incredible. So they may be starting to turn a corner here a little bit, and you can't really argue with 4 out of the last 5.
Right, and you can look back, not that every game is different, but just, a couple weeks ago, the Panthers came in here and won 8-3, correct? So, you can see that things are starting to look better for this Preds team going on the road, battling in a tight one. That save early from UC Saros denying Carter Verhaeghe was incredible. Verhaeghe was able to bury one later on, but the Preds battle, they get it to overtime, and they win the game. I was actually at the game on Tuesday, Max, my first in-person Preds game of the year, and I was saying it earlier this week that I finally got to see a Preds win. I was winless going to Preds games in my career and finally got to see one. Unbelievable performance. 5 goals in that game. The Preds looked great.
Yeah, that one was much needed. That was kind of a big release for the Preds to win a game by that much and not have to sweat any of it. And there were so many great milestones in that game. Reed Schaefer gets his first NHL goal. Ozzie Wisblack gets his first NHL goal. Steven Stamkos gets his 1,200th career point. So, I mean, there were just milestones and party favors going around all over the place after that game. And the Flames are really, really bad. But when you're trying to prove that you're not next to those teams at the bottom of the standings, you don't belong there, you need to destroy teams like that. So I thought the Preds did well to handle that game, and they were able to ride into Florida, and things are happening. Like, they're playing entertaining games. They're scoring goals. They're right, creating chances. They're playing great defense. The goalie's been strong. So they're doing the things that need to happen for them to get better along the way this year.
And we talk about Steven Stamkos. Of course, that was the marquee move that the Preds made last offseason to bring him in. And you're starting to see him continue to get more consistent in scoring goals in different ways. And I thought it was cool on Tuesday night to be able to see that graphic of 1,200 points from Steven Stamkos. Of course, almost all of them came with the Tampa Bay Lightning, a large majority. But to get to see that inside Bridgestone Arena for one of the legends of the game was really cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And when the team's playing well, you can really savor those type of things and appreciate the fact that Steven Stamkos is in a Preds uniform. And he's got goals in 4 of his last 5 games. It's happening. He's turning it on. He's 1 behind Philip Forsberg for the team lead right now with 8 goals. He's got 1,201 career points. He's moving up the goals list again. It took him a little while to get going this year, but he's getting ready to get towards 600. He has 590 career regular season goals. He's 11 behind Jari Kurri for 21st all time. He passed 8 different guys on the list last year. Once he gets to Curry, he can start passing some more guys after a little bit of a gap between 580 and 600. So the milestones are there for the taking. And as long as Steven Stamkos can generate some offense and put pucks in the net, whether the net is on the moorings or off, like it was in overtime last night, it's going to be fun times for the Preds. And they're probably not going to score 5 goals a night, but if they can win 3-2, 2-1 like they did last night, and Stamkos can contribute a goal, those goals are going to make a big difference.
For sure. And it's been great to see Stamkos start to come through in those big moments for the Preds. Again, who have now won 4 out of 5, and there's still a long way to go for this team to get back into a playoff hunt, and there's still a long way to go in the season. It's still early. Does the way they're winning right now feel sustainable, and maybe not just a hot stretch, but something that they can build off of as we head into the holiday season, into December, and then towards the Olympic break?
Well, it's interesting. I think it's been clear that the team knows they need to win tight, low-scoring games in order to be competitive this year. But then last week, they came out on the road trip on both ends of Thanksgiving in Detroit and Chicago, and the offense exploded. They won 6-3 in Detroit. One of those goals was an empty netter. And then they won 4-3 in Chicago. And the third period of that game in Detroit last Wednesday night was their highest scoring game of the season,
right,
in one period with 5 goals. So I think there's little trickle down happening to the offense, and I guess you could call it regression with how little they were able to score and how much better they deserved at the beginning of the season with some of the chances they generated. I think the thing, though, that's going to be the difference maker in order to get them to 4 goals a night instead of 2 or 3 is the power play. And last night was such a weird special teams game. There were so many penalties in that game.
It was, what, 11 total penalties?
Yeah, well, including matching minors, they called 13 in the game.
Wow.
And the Preds were 6 for 6 on the PK, including a big 4-minute kill in the second period, which really ensured that they had a chance to come back and get that game. UC Saros made 7 saves in those 4 minutes, including some really, really high-danger chances.
Yep.
And the Preds' power play was also over. And I think the Preds' PK was the reason the Panthers didn't score. The Preds do have to figure out the power play. The first unit, the guys who are supposed to be the first unit, have gotten passed by the second unit. First unit is just not generating anything. And that's going to have to be the thing that takes them from, like I said, 2 or 3 goals a night to 4 goals a night, which really the baseline, that's what you need to win in the NHL. And the Preds have found ways to win lower scoring games, which you can credit them for because they've engineered the system to that style a little bit this season. But I think they've proven in the last 5 games that they can win both ways when things go right on offense.
Right. You mentioned 5 goals in one period against the Red Wings to put up 6 for that game. Preds put up 5 on Tuesday against Calgary. So you're starting to see the floodgates open up a little bit. But yes, you would like to see more on the power play, especially, again, it's surface level, but the names you have on that supposed top power play unit, you would think they'd be more productive, and they just haven't been. That could be the key to keeping this going. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any questions for Max, would love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Max, Matthew in Nashville asks, be honest, how nice did it feel to be on the right side of the Minnesota game last night? It felt like hockey justice was delivered.
Well, yeah, the moment the net goes off, it's like, are they going to find a way to take this away from us? It's that kind of dread.
Right.
But right. I think that was a much more obvious call than the one that went against the Preds in Minnesota last month. So I think they got it right. The puck also did go in the net, which helps.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, there have been some weird calls. The officiating has been all over the place and not really in a good way. There was a call last night where the Preds thought they had scored, crashing the net with that second power play unit. Eric Halla thought he scored. Apparently, the puck never went in. You can't tell for sure because it's under Sergei Bobrovsky.
Right.
But the referee is right on top of the net, and he never makes a call. He never blows the whistle. He never washes the whole play out. And it's obvious he didn't call a goal, but they never say anything, and they go straight to review, and then they say, after review, the call on the ice of no goal is confirmed. well, you should tell us the call on the ice before you start the review.
Right.
And then, of course, in overtime, they do it properly and announce the call on the ice. Seems like when the calls go against the Preds, they don't give us any information. So that part of it is frustrating. And, I mean, Tuesday night, this didn't end up mattering because they scored 5 goals. But when the game was still 2-0, there was a linesman who called an offside right in front of him on a keep-in by Spencer Stastny.
Yep.
That was not even close to coming out. It was totally, completely over the blue line and still in the zone. And Stastny, just in the shot of his keep-in, threw it on net and scored.
Right.
And it was called offside. So, like, yeah. I mean, this is the league. But, hey, they didn't take that one away.
Right. And at the very least, both those games ended in wins, maybe with some inconsistencies in the officiating. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, if you have questions for Max, we will get to those throughout this whole first hour. Max Herz with us talking Predators hockey. They are in Raleigh taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow night. 615-737-1025 off and running on this Friday. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. This week's matchup is the Eagles and the Chargers. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly here in Nashville. Max Herz from Preds Radio joining us for the first hour of the show. He is in Raleigh as the Preds get ready to take on the Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow. And Max, we went through the two wins earlier this week, and on Tuesday we mentioned Reed Schaefer, Ozzie Weisblatt, both scoring their first career goals. And special for both those guys, I know the Schaefer family was in attendance to see that, and of course for Ozzie, a special moment for him heading back to the bench with his brother who passed away. So obviously a very emotional night for both of those guys, and cool to see them finally get one in the back of the net.
Yeah, isn't it pretty crazy, Jake, that this had happened 4 times before for the Preds? I thought maybe it had never happened. Two guys scoring their first NHL goal in the same game.
Crazy.
For a 27-year-old franchise has happened 5 times. That's way more than you'd expect, right?
Right. Yeah. That's one of those things you think it's kind of once in a lifetime thing of two guys on the same night. Because obviously it's rare. You know, Ozzie Weisblatt wasn't making his debut or anything like that. But for it to happen for both of them in the same night was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I asked Andrew Brunette if he had ever been part of any game, and he's been in the NHL for 25-plus years, almost 30 years at this point, as a player, an assistant coach, a head coach, and in front offices, and he said he couldn't remember one. So it's really crazy that the Preds have had 5, and it's some names we know, too. I think the funniest one was the most recent one before this week, January 9th, 2020 in Chicago, which is a game that is already going to jump to the front of Preds fans' minds once you hear the date and the opponent. Colin Blackwell scored his first NHL goal, and so did Pekka.
Wow. That's – so, man, did he only score one in his career?
Pekka?
Yeah.
Yeah, one and only one, but I think he was satisfied with one.
Yeah, I mean, most goalies, I would think, never get to score a goal in their career. So there you go, Pekka. That's another crazy stat that, you know, Colin Blackwell can say that he shared his first NHL career goal with Pekka.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's cool. Yeah, these guys are linked now. And 2014, Colton Sissons and Callie Yarncroke, two Preds who were coming up and became a part of that cup run and are still in the NHL. 2008, Patrick Hornquist, a beloved Pred, and Ryan Jones. And then 2004, Simone Gamache and Andrew Hutchinson. So those are, 10 of our 242 Preds goal scorers all time. Did it in Paris.
There you go. Did it on the same night. Reed Schaefer, Ozzie Weisblatt, both with their first career goal against the Flames on Tuesday. Speaking of some of the young guys, Max, wanted to just get a status update on some of these guys. We've talked a lot about Matt Wood this year, who he has gotten off to a great start to his career with the Predators. But then some of the other, maybe a little more established guys on this team, Luke Evangelista, Fedor Svechkov. How have those guys started to develop as the season has gone along?
I think the last couple of weeks, they've both been better. Evangelista, definitely better. He Didn't end up with a point last night, so his career best point streak ended at 5 games, but it's now been 5 games on the top line with Ryan O'Reilly and Steven Stamkos for Evangelista, and he's been much better. He's always been good when he's been with O'Reilly. I think that's been a separating factor for him over the last couple of years, and he doesn't always get those top line minutes, but when he does, he's able to work well with O'Reilly. Good puck support, good in tight spaces, good passing, good going to the net front, and those guys have scored goals at the net mouth, and none of the Preds forward lines have been doing that this season. So that combination is sticking together, if nothing else, because of that. But they score off the rush, they create chances in different ways, and Evangelista has been in the middle of all of it. So he leads the team in assists and is 1 point behind Ryan O'Reilly for the team lead, or that was going into last night. He's now a couple behind him, but he also is +4, which leads the team. So both the basic stats and the fancy stats point to the fact that Luke Evangelista has been much better recently. And Svechkov is coming along. He still has his moments, which has been good. He has been playing with fellow young guys. He's been playing with Schaefer, and Matt Wood was with them last night. And they seem to think that that helps Svechkov to have a little more freedom, not be deferring to somebody like Stamkos on his line. But that line still gets solid minutes. So in a game where there was so much penalty killing, Svechkov still had 15 even strength shifts last night. So I think he's been better. It's clear they're going to give him a long leash, which is really their only option. But also, I think a good move, because you got to let him establish himself. You don't want to kill his confidence, even though he could have gone to the AHL without waivers at any point this year. They're going to stick with Svechkov and let him figure it out up here. And there's a lot of coaching going on with him, and they're going to get him there.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they are giving him a chance to work out some of the kinks at the NHL level, because he did show a lot of flashes last year and, you know, got off to a slow start this season, but it's good to see him starting to come along in the fourth line for the Predators. And you mentioned Luke Evangelista on the offensive end of the ice, on the attack, but I saw a graph from Alex Doherty of the Tennessean as I was scrolling through X the other day, and it seems like Luke Evangelista is making a pretty big impact on the defensive end as well.
Yeah, I don't really know what these graphs mean, to be honest with you.
I don't either, but
you.
It seemed to be good,
I do.
Right?
I know what they mean, but, like, look, like, it's, to me, it's different than baseball. And I know the forward-thinking stats in baseball really show a lot that you can't always see by watching the game. I think in hockey, it's nice to see that those graphs seem to back up what I think from watching every shift of every game. And this is another case where that's true.
Right.
But I'd like to think that you can watch the game and pick those things out without having to look at a graph to see it. And I have no problem with advanced stats. But to me, like, you see that he's playing well, you know?
Right. I think the advanced stats, you mentioned baseball and hockey, I think would be similar. Of a lot of those advanced stats are just used to confirm what you're seeing with your eyes, right? Like, you could have a baseball player who's hitting 190, but the advanced stats show that he has an expected batting average of 320, and like, oh yeah, he's hitting the ball hard. I feel like that's kind of similar in hockey, of maybe the goals, the assists, the points, they aren't coming for these guys, but you can watch it and say, all right, I bet the advanced analytics are going to back up that he's playing pretty well out there.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the better team often doesn't win. So it's very unpredictable, bounces to side games. As Hal Gill says, sometimes the most important stat is get it done activity. And he also made up a word last night on the radio broadcast. He was very jealous that I apparently made up a word along the way. And you can weigh in, Jake. I said that the game had been chancy, despite the fact that it was low scoring.
I like it.
But is that a word? I don't even know.
But I don't know if it is, but I think it works. It's like that How I Met Your Mother episode where Barney's just making up a bunch of words. Vigitivity, chancy.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's perfect, a perfect way to describe a game where there's a lot going on, but they're just not putting the puck in the net.
Yeah, well, Hal got jealous that I made up a word and he didn't get to. So he came back with, and I wrote it down and I'm looking at it right now because I'm going to mess it up if I don't say it right. He said that the game was burbluffigating.
See, that one might be a little bit of a stretch.
You know what? I think it actually described the game very aptly. And we actually, in our travel and just our various events of the rest of the night, getting from Florida to Carolina, we did end up just experiencing some Berbluffigation along the way. So I think it's going to stick.
You might want to check, go get checked out by a doctor for that. I don't know exactly what that means, but Berbluffigating. Well done from Hal Gill. 615-737-1025.
The man has a way with words, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. That's why he gets paid the big bucks. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, if you have questions for Max, we will get to those coming up next. 615-737-1025. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also look a little bit deeper on UC Soros' recent performance. He's been good out there. What the D pairs have looked like for the Preds. And looking ahead, game against the Hurricanes tomorrow night before returning home for two games inside Bridgestone Arena next week. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday? We'll come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 1025 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Browns. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Old National Bank. Jake Lyman and Parker Kelly here in Nashville. Max Herz joining us live from Raleigh, North Carolina. We've got him for another 30 minutes here talking Preds hockey, as the Preds have won 4 out of 5 games. We were talking before the break about Hal Gill's new word, berbluffigating, that he came up with. Wes from Hermitage on the text line says, Hal was so lit on the air the other night, and it was the greatest thing of all time. He can make up whatever words he wants.
Yes, and get the word right, please, Jake.
I know.
I've also gotten it wrong many times.
It's a tongue twister.
What's the word again?
Berbluffigating.
Blurbluffigating?
Yeah, see, it gets you a little bit.
The L kind of moves a little bit. You know, the L can pair with any vowel in there. So I thought it was berbuffligating, but Turns out it's berbluffigating, and Parker just went with blurbuffigating.
Yes.
So I think there's some variations.
Don't count on me on getting that word right.
Yeah, it depends on what part of the country you grew up in. You know, it's kind of a regional dialect. So,
You know, like soda versus pop. It's blurbuffigating somewhere and burbluffigating elsewhere. That'll be the word of the day here on Next Man Up, is burbluffigating. And maybe we'll hear it again tomorrow on the radio broadcast as the Preds take on the Hurricanes. Max, we were talking about UC Soros, another great performance yesterday. And, you know, it's not always going to be perfect for a goaltender, and there was a little stretch there where it didn't look great. We talked about the Panthers game, 8 goals in that one. But UC Soros has looked like his old self, and that was an unbelievable performance yesterday to help the Preds get the win.
Yeah, that was his best game of the year last night. And since that pull against the Hurricanes, like, he got pulled in the second minute of the second period. He gave up 5 goals on 16 shots on home ice. Obviously, that's bad. And the next game, he didn't start. Onen and started in Detroit, and they were eyeing the bounce back in Chicago, and he bounced back with a win, and now he's won 3 straight. And that game last night, that is a goalie steal. And it was really almost a goalie steal for both games, and that's why it was so berbuffligating for everybody, because it felt like that should have been a high-scoring game. But it was 2-1 in overtime. So Soros, absolutely the star of the game for the Preds, and afterwards they hand out the player of the game items, or the party favors, as I like to call them. First up, the oar, for everybody has their paddles in and rowing together. And that went to Steven Stamkos. And then Stamkos gave the helmet to UC Soros and the entire penalty kill unit. And they took a very wholesome group picture with it in the locker room after the game to celebrate a successful 11 and a half minutes of penalty kill time. And I've actually, Jake, got some pretty crazy penalty kill minute stats from this game. 3 Preds last night set new career highs for most penalty kill ice time.
Wow.
Nick Hague beat his previous by an entire minute with 7 minutes and 54 seconds of shorthanded ice time last night. I thought Hague was really good last night. And when he's been good, he's been impactful for the Preds. He hasn't been that good every single game, but when he's been good, he's been what they wanted, a net front defensive defenseman. And, I mean, it's still only been 19 games for him coming back from injury with a new team. Yeah. So it's good to see those bright spots, and things do take time even for a player like that who's just kind of acclimating to the system and not necessarily toward the offensive side of it. But I think Haig was really great last night. Eric Halla, who's been in the NHL for 13 years and done a ton of penalty killing, had never done as much penalty killing as he did last night. And Michael McCarron also set a new career high. And Brady Shea led the Preds with 808 shorthanded time. That was his second highest PK time in his 11-year career. So it was big minutes for those guys. And I think my favorite thing about the picture they took was that presumably someone told him to get in there. I don't think he went in there on his own. They did so much killing that Reed Schaefer, who was a penalty killer and a power play guy in Milwaukee, they just ran out of guys, and Blankenberg was in the box. So they were down a killer, and Blankenberg had been killing as a forward a lot these last few weeks. So they need another forward. So Schaefer and Svechkov went out there and killed together. And I have not seen Reed Schaefer have a single practice PK shift in the NHL. Not that there's too much to practice, but like there's strategy and design to this, and he's seen it in film maybe, yeah, but he hasn't done it. And that one shift did earn him a spot in the picture. I was happy to see he was in there. I want to know who said, Rook, get in there. You were on there for one shift.
I love that. I love that. No practice time at all, but sometimes you need a guy, you know, the name of the show, Next Man Up. Reed Schaefer goes in there and comes through, gets himself in the picture. You mentioned Nick Haig, and I wanted to highlight the defensive pairings here, Max. It's been a little bit tough with all of the injuries. I mean, Nick Haig missing a lot of time to start the season. You had Roman Josi out for a while. Nick Perbix has been banged up, didn't play last night. What does that grouping look like as they've started to at least find a little bit of stability, and you've got that top pairing of Haig and Josi finally getting some ice time together at the top?
I think the most encouraging thing is that Josi has looked like his full self in the now seven games since he got back. And again, that injury had nothing to do with what cost him the end of the season last year. It had nothing to do with Potts. It was a hockey injury. It was a physical injury, and he recovered from it. And I think he's been back, and I think he's been moving great. I think he's been shooting. I think he's been generating. I think he's been amazing defensively. And I think the pairs are looking good. I think there's a chance Perbix returns tomorrow. He's missed two games, and his play had dipped a little bit. So hearing that there was an injury was not a total shock. And if there is something that was bothering him, I'm glad they held him out for a little bit. And it gave Adam Willsby a chance to come back in. And I thought Willsby moved well last night, too, on the second pair with Brady Shea. So they have guys. I mean, they have options. And I think the decor has not been the problem really at any point this season other than an off night or an off period or two. And they've got this third pair with Spencer Stastny and Nick Blankenberg, the speed package, that is sometimes their best pair. And sometimes they're the best pair by a mile. So they have guys who have really different abilities and skill sets. And I think the pairs are much better set than they were last season. And I think a lot of credit for that goes to Luke Richardson, who's in his first year on the coaching staff. He's the associate head coach. He was the head coach of the Blackhawks the last couple seasons. And he's just brought such stability to the defensemen. And he does a lot of active coaching. Like, think about it. He was a head coach of a young rebuilding team. Think about how much coaching had to go on moment in and moment out with the Blackhawks the last 3 years. 100%. Now he's just coaching seven guys. And yeah, he coaches everybody. He's on the bench, he's on the ice, but he's coaching the D, he's calling the D. And I think he has a narrow focus that has yielded really positive results for the Preds this season.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have questions for Max. We got one on the text line from Justin in Greenbrier. He says, Max, is the success from the Predators due to the lines finally figuring it out with the mix of talent, or is it just the puck luck has finally started to go the Preds' way?
I think it's both. And I think the top line coming together is the line that has meant the most. And I hate to say it, but we may not be able to see the line that I've liked second in line, which was Bunting, McCarron, and Weisblatt, since Weisblatt got hurt last night. So we will see if we get any information on that. The Preds are not practicing today, so we'll probably have to wait till the game tomorrow to know any timetable if Weisblatt is injured and missing that game tomorrow. But I love Bunting and Weisblatt together. It's been McCarron in the middle with them most of the time. When he missed a game, it was Jost in the middle. But all three of those guys just go to work down low and they get the puck to the net. And puck luck happens when you get the puck to the net and the puck has been in the slot, behind the net, near the crease, so much more for the Preds these last couple weeks. So I think to answer the question, Justin, both, and they're connected to each other. I hope that makes sense.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any thoughts for Max, any questions, we will get to those coming up next. We'll also preview the game in Raleigh tomorrow night, Predators and Hurricanes. It's a 6 o'clock puck drop, 5 o'clock pregame right here on 1025 The Game. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Bengals and the Bills at noon on 102.5 The Game. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. We got one more segment with Max. We'll get to it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. This holiday season, 102.5 The Game is looking out for the kiddos. We want to donate a bunch of stuffed toys to the Nashville Children's Alliance to be given to kids this holiday, but we can't do it without you. Join us at a Dunkin' location near your neighborhood the week of December 8th through the 12th to drop off a stuffed toy that a child will love. Find the Dunkin' locations that are participating at thegamenashville.com/toy. We would also like to thank the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Flores, Right Time HVAC, and Relidyne. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you here in our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning studios. Max Erz is in Raleigh, Preds and Hurricanes tomorrow night. 6 o'clock puck drop, 5 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5. Again, any final questions you have for Max, we've got him for about 10 more minutes here. And Max, looking at this game against the Hurricanes, not going to be easy. This is a very good team. But can the Predators keep this thing going on the road again before coming back for two at home next week in Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Blues and the Avs?
It'll be a fun matchup. I feel like every time the Preds come to North Carolina, which is only once a year in the regular season, UC Saros has to make like 80 saves. Because that's just how the Hurricanes play. They shoot everything. They have the puck the entire game. And this happens against everybody, not just the Preds. So we'll see what this game looks like. The Hurricanes are one of the better teams in the league right now, record-wise. They're 16-8-2. They did get crushed at home by the Maple Leafs last night, 5-1. So we'll definitely be looking through what happened there. They, as usual, are having their goalie rotation. It's always Pyotr Kochetkov and Freddie Anderson who kind of split time, and then by playoff time, one of them gets picked. They also have a third guy this year named Brandon Bussey, who had never played in the NHL before this season. He actually played against the Preds in the preseason this year for the Panthers and then got waived and claimed by the Hurricanes at the end of preseason. They really saw something in him, and they've been right. He's been exceptional. He has won, let's see, three starts in a row. And if you go back further, it's an even higher total than that. So he did not play last night and they gave up 5 goals. So I imagine the Preds will see Bussey tomorrow and we'll get to see him in the regular season for the first time. But I mean, every time you come to Carolina, you got to just weather the hurricane storm. They shoot tons of pucks, but I think it's a game that's built for UC Saros to win. And we saw it here 3 seasons ago. He had 64 saves, which was one of the highest save totals in modern NHL history for a non-overtime game. So I think that's probably what you should expect against these guys. But I think with the mojo the Preds have right now, they can do enough to win a game like that.
Yeah, excited for that one. Chance for the Preds to keep this going. Again, they've won back-to-back games, 4 out of the last 5. Looking at the schedule, Max, it's kind of a strange little stretch here over the next 6 games, only playing 3 opponents all home and away. So it's Carolina on the road, home games against Colorado and St. Louis. Then you go on the road to Colorado and St. Louis before getting the Hurricanes back at Bridgestone Arena. So going to get very familiar with those 3 squads over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I love it. And that just happened with the Panthers, too. A home right. game last week and then a road game last night. So I actually really like stuff like that. I wish there would be even 2-game series, especially to help minimize travel. And it seems like the NHL doesn't really want to do that. But I love the 2 meetings in close quarters because it leads to fun games. It leads to division rivalry with the Avs and the Blues. And those are teams that the Preds want to establish a physical presence against. I mean, the Avs are one of the highest skilled teams in the league, and the Blues are near the Preds at the bottom of the Central Division, and those are games the Preds really want to win for positioning and to get themselves back closer to the playoff line. So I love, look, anything that can lead to more fights or physicality, I'm all in favor of. And we've had some fun moments with the Preds and some big hits and a few fights over the last few weeks. So keep them coming.
Yeah, going to be an exciting time here. Preds seem like they may have turned a corner. 1-4 out of their last five. Again, facing off with the Hurricanes in Raleigh tomorrow night. It's a 6 o'clock puck drop, 5 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. Max, I would be remiss if we let you go without talking about your Vanderbilt Commodores. I know we spend most of the hour on Preds when you're on, but you are a proud Vanderbilt alum. Thoughts on everything going on with Vanderbilt football? Obviously, the disappointment of where they are in the current college football playoff rankings, but it's very possible a Heisman Trophy will be coming to West End within the next 2 weeks.
I need an update from you, actually, Jake. How close were we to this unscheduled game this week? Because I really wanted that to happen.
It seems like it was closer than you would have thought. Like, Clark Lee saying that he had his players having their bags packed. I guess the game would have had to have been played in Hawaii or Alaska. That's like the rule is if you're going to play an unscheduled 13th game, it has to be outside the mainland U.S. So they would have gone on and played either Miami or Utah or something like that in Hawaii. Logistically, I guess it never was able to work out, but how fun would that would have been? Basically a showcase of, fine, you want to leave us out? How about you lead us out after we go play a game on 2 days' notice and go beat one of the other contenders for the playoff?
Do we know for sure that it would have had to be in Hawaii, or is that just from the message board?
Maybe that's just the message board geniuses thing. That's what I'm going through. But I don't know. Would they have been able to do it in Nashville? Like, how cool would that have been to just schedule this game, have Miami come here, or maybe Vandy goes down there? I don't know. But that would have been unprecedented. And I don't know, if you're the committee, how do you not put the winner of that game in? The fact that they're willing to do that alone should be a check in their column for their playoff case.
I think all sports now should just be like boxing, where you just challenge people and you do it on your own time.
No schedules. Just, hey,
no schedules.
Notre Dame, we want to play you this weekend.
Yeah. I think that'd be great. But here's my actual, like, you can tell me if this is dumb or not. So the playoff should not have a set number of teams in it. The cut line should move based on how many teams deserve it.
I think
Do
that's
we think
fair.
That's reasonable?
Yeah, because I think last year there probably wasn't there probably weren't 12 teams that were worthy. Like, SMU probably wasn't a playoff worthy team, but they were the last team in. At 11-1, they lost their conference championship game. This year, I think there are 15 teams that are playoff worthy, and five of them are going to get left out. I kind of agree with you. It would be nice if we could just say, all right, committee, you've got to pick a round number of like 8, 12, or 16, depending on how many teams are actually capable of winning a game in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, there are enough bowl games that it can just go as it goes. So I don't know. That's my uneducated idea. To be honest with you, I have not been following the rankings too closely this week.
I just know
that Vandy had no, it seemed like Vandy had no chance from the jump from where they had been placed, which I think is dumb. But
yeah,
this has been what
I've been advocating for is stop doing the weekly releases, because the committee kind of backs themselves into a corner of, well, this is what we said we thought about this team, so we can't change it. The weekly releases don't allow them to take a holistic view of these teams' seasons, because they have to do everything based off what they released the week before. I think that would help out a lot if they just did maybe one mid-season check-in, here are our top 12 teams, and then at the end of the year, release the bracket.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. It's it's a sham, right?
Yes. And it's disappointing that Vanderbilt will not be in the playoff. Most likely, again, the official bracket will be released on Sunday. But the Heisman ceremony coming up a week from tomorrow, you'll be in Colorado. So maybe just before that game against the Avs, there will be a Heisman Trophy coming back to Nashville.
Yeah. When do we find out the finalists?
I believe early this week. Parker, does that sound right? Like Monday, Tuesday, we'll get the finalist?
For the Heisman?
For the Heisman,
it should be. It should be on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, should be on Sunday.
I think ballots are due on Sunday. So, yeah, Sunday or Monday, I think we'll get the Heisman finalists. So, I would be stunned if Diego Pavi is at least not in New York.
Okay. And how many guys go to New York? I have the most basic questions about this. But
three to five.
It's not the same every year, right?
No, it's kind of like
three and five.
Like what you were talking about with the playoff committee,
yeah.
If they could change it. It's based on how many guys get close to a certain vote total. So it could be three, it could be five.
Okay. Well, I think Pavi is definitely in the top five, right?
Right. I think he's going to be a Heisman finalist. It's just a matter of whether he wins. So exciting stuff on West End, and we'll find out where the team goes for the postseason coming up on Sunday as well. But the Predators are in Raleigh taking on the Hurricanes tomorrow, 6 o'clock puck drop. And we always appreciate Max Herz joining us. Great stuff, Max. We'll do it again next week.
Yeah, we're in ACC country. So
yes, yes. Down there on Tobacco Road and back here in Nashville for two games at Bridgestone Arena next week, Tuesday and Thursday against the Avalanche and the Blues. We will talk to Max next Friday, and we'll be able to recap all three of those games. Max, thanks for taking some time. Good luck tomorrow night in North Carolina, and hopefully come back with another win.
Thanks, boys.
Max Herz from Preds Radio. Always great having Max on. When we come back, we'll get into some football. It is championship weekend across college football. We'll go through all of the big games, what chaos could unfold in the college football playoff rankings. Later on in the show, we'll talk Titans and Browns as well. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.